At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Now, back to Real Ghost Stories Online, live.
Let's go to a letter, and if you'd like to share your ghost stories with us, you can do it. Real Ghost Stories Online is the place on the old World Wide Webs where you used to type in an address, Real Ghost Stories Online. That's where we're at if you want to share yours here. All right, this one says, it always begins with something ordinary. A move, a new house, a child's room full of possibility. You tell yourself it's a fresh start. Nothing more, but sometimes the walls know better. Sometimes the past doesn't always let go so easily. I was 9 when my parents bought a little 2-story ranch. Nothing remarkable about it on the surface. Beige siding, a trimmed lawn. The kind of place you'd pass without a second glance. Just a few cities over from our old home, down 1 Buckingham Street. I gotta ask, this isn't the same story I read
it
before.
Is. Yeah, it is.
Okay, I'm like, this sounds really familiar. And I think the prompter I think I got here grabbed me the wrong one. I apologize. I was like, I put it together earlier. I'm like, am I remembering it because of that, or am I remembering it because I just read this?
I remember the 2-story ranch.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do this one. It always starts with loss. You know, a little different feel. The kind that reshapes a family. It shifts the ground beneath you that never really leaves. For me, it began with my parents. My father passed away in 1988. My mother followed in 1989. And just as those wounds were still raw, my nephew, Joey, ended his own life in 1990. One after the other, 3 deaths in 3 years. That kind of grief doesn't fade. It sits in you like a stone lodged in your chest. I bring this up because what happened after doesn't make sense without them. Grief is strange. It can make you feel things, imagine things. But what I'm about to tell you, footsteps, voices, the man on the couch went far beyond imagination. My parents had raised 6 of my cousins. The house I grew up in was noisy, chaotic, but there was love in it. After my mother's death, life continued. It always does. 2 years later, the youngest cousin married. We gathered for the wedding, trying to celebrate. The pictures came back, glossy prints, ordinary snapshots of a family trying to stitch itself back together. And then we saw it. One of the photographs showed a man in older style clothes standing behind my cousin. Behind him, a woman, her hand resting gently on his shoulder. They weren't guests. They weren't supposed to be there, yet they were caught in the frame as solid as anyone else. I can't swear it was my parents, but when I looked at those faces, I felt a comfort I hadn't felt since they were alive. Like, they had found a way to step back into the world, if only for that moment, to let us know they were still near. That should have been the end of it, a strange photograph, a whisper of comfort and grief, but it wasn't. Years passed. My daughter and I moved from Kentucky to Washington State, my granddaughter in tow. She was only four then, innocent, curious, still living in that magical space where children talk to the air and believe someone answers back. One afternoon, she was out on the patio. The sun poured down, a soft breeze lifting her hair. She twirled, laughed, carried on a conversation with someone invisible. At first, we thought it was nothing unusual. Kids her age invent friends all the time. Still, curiosity got the better of us. We asked, "Honey, who are you talking to?" And she stopped mid-spin, looked at us like it was the simplest thing in the world. "A friend." "What's your friend's name?" "Joey," she said. The name hit like a punch. My daughter and I froze. We forced our voices steady. "Joey? What about Joey?" "He died," she said. "Very matter of fact. How'd he die?" Her answer came calm, clear, without hesitation. "He was shot." The world seemed to tilt. Joey had died by suicide in 1990, shot himself. We never spoke of it, never even mentioned his name to her. She had no way of knowing, and yet she did. That was the day I stopped believing coincidence could explain everything. But the strangest part was still to come. 2 years ago, we moved into a brand new house, fresh construction. So new the scent of sawdust clung to the floors, the drywall dust still settling in corners. We thought a new house would mean a fresh start, a blank slate. It didn't. At first, the house was quiet, but within 6 months, things began to shift. It started with footsteps. Always at night, I would lie in bed, drifting towards sleep, when I'd hear them, heavy, deliberate, measured steps. They began at the linen closet at the end of the hall and then moved down towards the kitchen, turned the corner, and stopped near the refrigerator. The sound was so clear, I would get up to check, heart pounding, convinced someone had broken in. But the hallway was empty, doors shut, nothing disrupted. When I told my daughter, she dismissed it, said maybe I was dreaming until it happened to her. Then the activity grew louder. Toys in the garage clicked on by themselves, tiny electronic voices singing in the dark. The laundry room light flicked on. No one was near the switch. The television began to act up, changing channels on its own, shutting off abruptly. The first time the TV powered down, my daughter grabbed a camera, turned out the lights, and began snapping pictures. Later, when she looked through them, one photo stopped her cold. A mist curled low on the ground near her desk. In that mist, almost looked like a face, a man's face, but undiscernible. It didn't stop with photographs. One night, I was at the computer in the living room. Behind me, the couch shifted, cushions dipping, almost as if someone had sat down. I turned, and I saw what I think was a man, a dark shadow. A lean, almost not frame. Through it, you could see items like a jean jacket with a collar cut, oddly high, almost foreign in style. His presence wasn't angry. It wasn't kind. It was simply there. He was there. For months, the dogs ignored everything. Daisy. And our Rottweiler also, the lab. None of them could be calm. Animals sense things, right? If they weren't concerned, maybe I didn't need to be either. But then came the night Akita froze. She'd been lying by my side, relaxed, when suddenly she shot up, body rigid, hackles raised, a deep growl vibrating in her chest, and she locked her eyes on the front door, refused to move closer. She just stood there, snarling at something I couldn't see. Minutes dragged by like hours before she bolted down the hallway and leapt onto my daughter's bed as if she needed walls between her and whatever waited by that door. A few nights later, Daisy erupted into barking. She jumped from the couch, ran to the window, and barked furiously towards the front step. Again, nothing. No one outside. But she didn't stop until her throat was raw. The house wasn't finished. One morning, my son-in-law and I were at our computers when footsteps came again, heavy, deliberate, walking in the hall. We both turned, expecting to see my daughter, one of the girls. The hallway was empty. I said, I guess I'd better check. Second I stood, door slammed, loud, violent. The sound shook the walls, but every door in the hall appeared to be already shut. My son-in-law went pale. He didn't question me after that. Another night I went to the bathroom. Akita padded in behind me. As I opened the door, chatting absently to her, we both froze. The knob of the master bedroom twisted, slowly and deliberately. We watched it turn. Akita's ears pricked. She sat tense, eyes locked on the door, and my breath caught in my throat. Whoever or whatever was on the other side wanted us to know it was there. The house was empty. Everyone else was out shopping. Only the dogs and I were home. And there were voices. At night in the stillness, I heard a little girl's voice, clear and high, seemed to be calling Mommy. The first time I dismissed it as just my imagination. It already was quite active with the previous experiences. The second time, I couldn't just dismiss it. After that, it became impossible to sleep without starting to hear it again. Was it my imagination? Was it the dreams, or was I hearing it? We tried to uncover the history of the property. The house was new, barely 2 years old when we bought it. The man who sold it to us had never lived here. The family before him had moved on, alive and well. They had purchased the land from the Northern Pacific Railroad in the 1960s. Before that, the records vanished into the dark. Neighbors mentioned mining in the early 1900s, dangerous work, lives cut short, bodies buried where they fell. But nothing concrete. No neat story to explain who or what was sharing our home. So we're left with questions. Was it my parents who had already shown themselves once in a wedding photo? Was it Joey making himself known the only way he could? Or was it someone else? The man I saw on the couch with his thinning hair and jean jacket pacing the hallways night after night. Whoever he was didn't feel cruel. Not yet. The footsteps that once terrified me became almost familiar, protective in their own way. But the voices, the child calling Mommy from the darkness, those never stopped chilling me. They belonged to someone who never lived in this house, someone tied not to the building, but to the land itself. Sometimes I think about reaching out, trying to communicate, but fear holds me back. He's already willing to slam doors and twist knobs. What happens if I open that door wider? So we live with it. We share the space. His footsteps echo in the hallway. Sometimes toys play by themselves. Sometimes the dogs growl at the unseen. We've adjusted the way people adjust to creaks in an old house or the hum of a train in the distance. Except this isn't the house settling. This is something else, something alive in its own way. Thoughts on all that?
That's a lot to unpack. You know, I don't think Joey has anything to do with what's going on in the house. I do think that the granddaughter did see him, though.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like whatever's going on in the house is him. Now, I thought that was interesting, which I do not want that to happen to me. Like, be sitting there and some shadow person sits next to me on the sofa. I don't want that. But it feels like that is what it there's something connected there. That's
little
dark.
Company.
I don't want that kind of company.
It's a shadow person. What if they're nice? What if they're friendly? What if they just want to talk?
But they don't. They want to just sit there and then walk around at night. Disturb you.
Like cats, basically.
like cats.
I think this is another story tonight where there's more than one thing going on.
Yeah.
You know, I think that
the same thing.
I think we always, when we talk about ghosts, and I always say this to people who want to investigate, it's like you go in, you've got your mindset. Well, you know, Laura lived here and she died. It's got to be her. Well, it doesn't have to be, right? You don't know. So if there's something going on in a location, more than likely there's more than one thing going on, I think.
I would completely agree. But the only time you do know it's Laura's place is if there's the plaque on the front that says, this is where Christopher Cross wrote, "Hey, Laura." And then you're like, Laura did live here. So it's like, hey, Laura.
So I thought this was going to be a Laura Ingalls bit. And so my mind is even more blown that it ends up being Christopher Cross.
Most depressing concert.
Oh my God. Ever. But did you enjoy yourself?
I was wonderful. So this is this was way before everyone was appreciating yacht rock. This is like kind of the down and out time for it. So this would have been like 2001 ish. We're at WIFC in Wausau, and there's a retro night going on at one of the casinos, you know, up there. And on the ticket is Christopher Cross, Ambrosia. trying to think who else. Not Cat Stevens. No, Year of the Cat.
Al Stewart.
Oh my God. And I don't know who else. Keep in mind, this is Top 40 Radio in 2001. We're playing Eminem. We went up there and, you know, it was like, hey, you know, we did the intro thing. And I loved it. I love that music. And it's obviously, it's had a wonderful resurgence. And I think that's amazing. But at that point in time, Christopher Cross comes out. And he's doing little stories between every single song. And it was the weekend also that Dudley Moore died. And he did the song, When You Get Caught Between the Moon and New York City.
Yeah.
And
theme from Arthur, right?
Theme from Arthur. So he's like going up like, and this is a good friend of mine, Dudley Moore, just died. When you get caught between the middle. Then the next, like, here's another song that goes on to like tell this love story, and then she died. Okay, hey Laura. And you're just like waiting for him to like pull a revolver out and just like right there, like, oh no. But I'm glad it didn't end that way. And we still have him today performing.
Oh my God. I watched that Yacht Rock documentary.
Wasn't it great?
Yeah. Recently.
Yeah.
And Christopher Cross was one who surprised me. They interviewed, he was very engaging, and because I kind of expected him to be kind of a little.
Well, he did withdraw from everything for, but he didn't like it.
I didn't get why. But yeah. There was one of his songs, and I can't remember which one it was, that I didn't see this coming. All of a sudden, he's like, I did a hit of acid, and we were driving, and I just wrote the song. And I was like,
it's Ride Like the Wind, right?
That was it. Yeah. I think that was it. Yeah.
Such a long way to go.
In his best Michael McDonald voice.
What's really funny, Tony, is you probably don't remember this, but I remember you telling me the story of seeing Christopher Cross in concert up in Wausau. And I just remember you saying, I think he was suicidal, you know, not to make fun of that, but it's like
so, when I told you the story back then, you remember
yes.
I almost spit my water out just then. I wasn't ready for that.
Like, so now whenever a Christopher Cross song comes on, I have to tell people, yeah, he was up in Wisconsin back in like the early 2000s.
25 years like, ago.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, it was really, and I felt bad, like there wasn't a big crowd and all that. I mean, today it would be huge.
Oh yeah.
But it was just that it was a point in music where nobody wanted to admit they even liked that stuff anymore and everything was changing. But I mean, what a resurgence of that format. I think it's awesome. Anyway, 855-853-4802, the phone number, if you'd like to put that into your device, call and speak and share your story. Hi, I'd like to share a ghost story.
You didn't just do that.
And then you can share.
Oh my gosh. Look, I got a call too.
Operators are standing by.
What you should do is there should be a special deal. If you tell your story, you get a special edition of the Time Life series of Yacht Rock with Christopher Cross.
I would love that.
Oh, can you get that sponsorship?
You know, I love Yacht Rock, but did you ever expect all of these great songs to be on one cassette tape?
What? On one?
Not just one, two cassette tapes, side A and side B. Did you know that you could do that? But if you call right now, you're going to get five cassette tapes. And then every month, we're going to send you seven more cassette tapes. But you have to send two of those last ones back if you don't want to be charged $7 more for each of the 12 more cassette tapes that we're going to send you the following month. Then we're going to send you a book of stamps. And this big book of stamps, you're going to have to take 15 of those, put them on a self-addressed stamped envelope, mail it to Publishers Clearinghouse.
And if you don't do all of those steps, we will charge you $50
for the rest of your life.
A month.
And your ashes will be ours. When you die, your cremated remains are now part of Columbia House.
Until your family pays the ransom. $5,000.
Does that stuff still exist? Is there still a Columbia? Is that Columbia House?
I don't think they do that stuff.
I just like the stamps. I just like to play with the stamps. Let's go to the ghost story phone call at 855-853-4802.
They filed for bankruptcy in 2015, by the way.
Oh.
Christopher Croston?
No. Columbia House.
Columbia House. Same difference.
Poor Christopher Cross. I thought he pretty good.
Christopher Cross invested in Columbia House and it all went to shit.
Ah, that made me laugh. Okay, here we go.
My name is J-Lo, not the famous actor, singer, blah, blah, blah.
Damn.
My actual name. But I'm calling to tell you a story or two quick stories about my son. They happened when he was about 3 and again when he was about 4 and a half. The first one is we live up in Northern California, very close to the cemetery where the Black Dahlia was buried. Also a lot of other famous people. However, this is a place where prior to having children and everything else, when my husband and I weren't even married yet, we would take frequent trips there, bike riding, walking the dog, etc. Anyhow, I'd go there lots of times when I was pregnant and even after my son was born and he was an only child. This happened shortly after my daughter was born. Actually, it probably was about when my son was 2 and a half, because she wasn't quite one yet. We decided to go for a picnic at the cemetery, like I usually do. I'd driven up to one of my favorite spots, but to get there, you have to pass through one of the oldest sections of the cemetery. And as we rounded a bend where some construction was happening and lots of very old graves and just, you know, poorly maintained area was, my son said to me, hey, mommy, do you see all the people out there waving? And that was a little startling because no one was there. It was pretty early. We hadn't even seen anyone since we entered the cemetery, let alone up there by the older graves. And I asked him, you know, hey, what do you mean people waving? And he said out to me, you know, all the people outside, they're waving to me. And, you know, I replied with a, hey, you know, I know I don't see them, but, you know, I'm sure they're there. And no, since there seem to be people here, let's not disturb them. And kind of nope the fuck out of there. I didn't let him know how scared or bothered I was. I just kind of noped out of there because I couldn't see them. And I wasn't sure if they were beckoning him or, you know, just kind of waving towards him. Anyhow, the second story is pretty quick and short. My mother died a couple years later, and I had to essentially rush down to deal with everything. It was unexpected and happened very suddenly. And on the day it happened, I had just dropped my son off and got a call and had to rush off and was gone for about a week. And, you know, my son and daughter were pretty young, 4.5, 2.5, and they didn't really know what was happening. But when I got home, I was looking through old photos and dealing with some stuff. And my son walked up behind me and said, hey, mommy, who's that lady? And it happened to be pictures of my mother and me from a couple years prior and a bunch of stuff. And I said, oh, yeah, well, that's my mommy. She's, you know, the one who I went to go see. She passed away. And he said, oh, well, she came to see me. And I was puzzled and I said, oh, what do you mean she came to see you? And he said, yeah, I saw her and she was in my room and she looked very sad and she was standing in the door and I saw her. And again, you know, since we had had that other thing at the graveyard and everything else, I figured, you know, he was probably telling the truth. And I just said, okay, well, you know, thank you for telling me. And he didn't seem scared or bothered about it either times that these things happened. It just seemed interesting enough that, you know, I've been listening to the show for a while and I figured this would be a nice addition to your calls that you play sometimes. Hopefully it makes it on the show. And if not, oh well, I'm sure it'll give you guys a interesting thing to think about when you listen to it. All right. I hope you guys are well and thanks for listening. Bye.
Thoughts on all that?
I can jump in here because, you know, my sister, Kathy, her son, you might not know this story, Todd, but he saw my dad for a long time after my dad died. Like, and so a while back, I don't know, probably 6 months ago, he did an episode of the Grave Talks with me and really went in depth about it. It was really interesting how well he remembered it. And like I said, you know, so would he just like hang out? And he goes, yeah, like there was times he would say, you want to watch the Cubs play. And so he's like, so if you're watching the Cubs play and you're in the living room, does he just come in and sit in a chair? Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was really interesting. And so I kind of, you know, when you think about it, it's like if you were a parent and your child had a child, wouldn't you want to have some interaction with the kid?
And, sure.
You know, but it's like he saw the grandmother, it would have been his grandmother. But didn't he say that she looked sad or something? So, you know, it's just, was she kind of checking in on him to see how he was doing? Because I just think that you would.
Yeah. And is that, was that how her demeanor was too, just in life? You know, was she kind of always that sad, you know? And, you know, the grandpa here that, you know, in your world, you know, that came down and sat down to watch the Cubs. Is that just sounds like what he would do in life?
Oh yeah. My dad was a huge Cubs fan.
And there you go. I mean, yeah, he was doing what he does.
It was really sweet because we just got back. My nephew took his daughter to her first Cubs game.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it was really cool. Her first game at 7 months old, she made the Jumbotron. I have been to 50 games. I have never made the Jumbotron. Not one time. And 50 games is probably an understatement. And her first game, because she's adorable.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she made the, yeah, it was really exciting to see her up there. It's like, oh my God.
So does he still see him?
No, it lasted around 8 months to a year, I would say. And it was very matter of fact. And he just went up to Kathy and just started talking about seeing him. And Kathy was very shocked. And I think you go to wanting to correct him how that isn't possible because he died. And Chris was there at the hospital when my father died. So he fully knew that his grandfather had died. And he was really sad. They were very close. He was really, really, really sad. But it was, and then he would tell Kathy things that he wouldn't know anything about, but my dad would. And he would say, you know, hey, he told me blah, 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 blah. And so it was really, it was creepy and cool at the same time, because it was weird to be grieving really deeply and then having your nephew and her son, in Kathy's case, still contacting him.
Yeah.
It was a very weird experience.
Has he had any other experiences outside the family? Like a, just a random.
Yeah, he has. And he was an RN for years. He's a nurse anesthesiologist now, but he was an RN for years. And so he worked in hospitals, in several different hospitals. He had encounters. And that's why I went on the ghost show to talk about the encounters at the hospital. And then he brought up the whole grandpa thing, which was very, I was not, cause I never quite knew how to, like, hey, Chris, you want to sit down and have a conversation about when he used to talk to my dad. But, yeah. So Chris just kind of volunteered it all. It was very interesting. And so I just think, you know, and in the other story we were talking about with Joey, and that whole thing, like, I could see how he would want to know her daughter, you know, and interact with her. So I could see how they would come to you through the kids. Cause I also think the kids are more open to it. We have so many things coming in our brains all day. There are some people who obviously have that ability still, but I think when you're a kid, it's not so unusual.
There's not going to be a need for ghosts anymore because AI is going to take care of it.
Take care of all that.
I'm not even joking, honestly, where it really will. It will take care of the ghost thing because, I mean, it can learn if you have any sort of plethora of information out there about yourself, or if you can give it access to your data, your emails, your writing, anything that you've ever done or are doing for the next however many years, it can pretty much duplicate you. And then, you know, like
you can have conversations.
Harper can talk to me until she's dead. And, you know, and I'm long dead. And then her grandkids can talk to me and on and on, which in some ways can be very interesting to go, well, interesting. Like I'll be able to give my perspective based on who it knows who I am. So whatever you're putting out there is who you're going to be forever, kids, in terms of your legacy and what people will remember you for more than ever before. But it will be able to give feedback, you know, based on what it knows and what it would likely, what I would likely say. You know, I see it, the accuracy in it today, you know, in the way it writes and things like that. I mean, it helps us write, you know, scripts. It helps us, you know, put together outlines and things of that nature. And I just watched it in the last grow up so nicely in the last year or two into such a nice little AI. But it gets to know you, and it really, it can write in your voice in such accurate ways if you use it in that way, that it's kind of spooky. I mean, well, it is spooky. It's amazing.
It's really, because recently my brother, who's super talented, he's a graphic designer, but works in 3D rendering stuff. Yep. It's very complicated what he does, but anyway, he's quite good at it. But he was playing around just in his spare time goofing off, and he was animating photos. So when my dad died, early 90s, we were poor growing up. We did not have a video camera. That would have been way back then really expensive anyway. Mm-hmm. So there's no video of my dad anywhere. So I took a picture of my dad in the Air Force. Mm-hmm. And it was really, I kept it because it kind of made me cry seeing my dad that young again, but he's smiling and he's laughing. Obviously, there's no audio, you just see it. But it's like, I haven't seen my dad smile in a very long time. You know, since he died in 1993. Mm-hmm. And so it was really weird. And he did the same with a picture of my grandmother.
It's very, I mean, it's amazing what you can do with this. Mm-hmm. It's shocking. I mean, it's amazing for what we can do with graphics and having fun with things and doing all different sorts of things. But it can also be really, startling, especially when you grab an old family photo and throw it in there. And suddenly everybody's moving around. And some of these are, they're so accurate. I mean, it does get weird in many of them still, but it can pull it off pretty good.
That was her smile. You know, they really got it right with both.
It's amazing.
It's very strange.
There's ones now too, where they're adding sound to it. It's nuts. Where it's at right now and where it's going to be. A year ago today, I was kind of like, I can't wait till the video stuff is a lot more common. And now it really is. And where is it going to go? A year from now, I have no idea. But it'll all be AIS. It's going to have killed us. And it's,
Well, here's so from a ghost's perspective.
Yeah.
So you die and you want to come back and you want to visit family. They have no need for you now because you could be AI'd out. So if you're a ghost, you're no longer wanted or needed. Is that the situation?
I guess so. Because the AI version is going to be a lot. It's like you're the analog version of it now.
Yeah.
They have the digital version of us.
Like, I don't need you just to walk around at night. I can talk to you whenever I want.
Exactly. You know, like, I know what you're trying to say, Grandpa. Stop banging on the door. I already had this conversation with you on AI. You know, that's a scary thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a spooky thing. 855-853-4802, the phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. I think we have another call, don't we?
Yeah. Would you like me to play it?
Another phone call to hear.
Just a minute, please, Tony. Right. I do not know why I was using that voice.
Like Lily Tomlin at the operator.
Yes.
And I haven't even thought of that for really
long. Has that album.
Of course she does. Why wouldn't she?
I know she does.
Here you go.
My name is Steve. I've been listening to your show for quite some time now, and I'm actually catching up right now. I'm binge watching while I'm doing some of my work at the local dealership that I work at. So there may be some background noise and some wind, and I apologize for that. But I just heard a story about astral projection, and it made me remember a time when I was a teenager. It was it was actually quite interesting to me. I've never really told anybody this story, and I've often wondered what it really was, whether I was just dreaming or whether it actually happened. I actually believe it did happen personally. So, well, here it goes. When I was a teenager, I used to smoke cannabis on the regular, and it started out recreational, and then I became a habitual smoker. And one night before going to bed, I had smoked a small amount just to relax so I could clear my head and go to sleep, as I had problems sleeping as a teenager. And when I fell asleep, I had a vivid dream, very vivid. I remember it so clearly as if it happened yesterday, and this was 15 years ago. I woke up floating above myself in my room. It was quite interesting, actually. And I looked down upon myself sleeping in the position I normally slept in. And my feet hovered down to the ground and started walking. Went downstairs into my kitchen as I was feeling rather parched. I reached up, I got a glass out of the cabinet. I filled the glass up with water at the refrigerator. I started drinking the water, walked myself back upstairs, and then looked upon myself sleeping again and thought, hey, that's strange. I'm sleeping, but I'm drinking water. I set the glass down on my nightstand right next to me and then jumped up in the air and fell back into my being. And then I woke up the next morning, and there was a half-drank glass of water next to me on my nightstand. It was the same glass that I had gotten in the dream or the projection. And then I was like, well, that's awful strange. I know I did not walk downstairs last night to get a drink of water before I went to sleep. And so that's my story. Whether it happened or not is beyond me. And whether I did it in the physical world or whether I actually had an astral projection where I could manipulate objects happened, I couldn't tell you. They may, of course, been the influence of the cannabis, and I really did wake up and walk downstairs. Or who knows, it could have been something different, because I have noticed that when I was on it, I had more sensitivity to paranormal activities, perhaps to relax the brain, or I'm not sure. It put me more at ease. I have ADD, ADHD real bad, and it kept my brain from jumping around like a crazy squirrel. I actually could concentrate better, and I tend to notice things. I can feel people's energy more, and I've had a couple of paranormal experiences while under the influence of cannabis, but only light dosages, nothing major. But I thought you'd find that interesting, and feel free to use this on the show. You guys do a great job. I really appreciate everything that you guys are about, and I really enjoy the show. Again, thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Tell you what, it's really spooky when you're under the influence of cannabis and you go to bed and you know you just went to bed and that's all that happened. You wake up and there's chicken nuggets in your fridge from McDonald's.
Has that really happened to you?
How they got there? No, I'm kidding. No, I do remember calling and getting the chicken nuggets. Yes.
Because really, that could be an Ambien thing.
Yes. Yes, that could be. That's
because like, people, you don't know what you do when you're on the Ambien.
No. I was just joking about, you know, getting the munchies or something. But I've never forgotten anything. Like, I don't know. I mean, who knows? Everybody reacts differently to everything.
But that would be such a weird thing to, I don't know how high he was before he went to bed, but he said he smoked, I like cannabis on the regular.
I would say anything's when you're mixing in that into the ghost story realm, it's like, well, now you're kind of like, it could be
then
either.
You fall asleep and now you're in the dream state.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to say that you can't.
Could he have forgotten that he got the glass of water? Maybe. Maybe. But if it was astral projection, then did that glass of water just kind of float on its own through the house?
Carol, have you been smoking just now?
I'm thinking too hard, aren't I? How did it get there? Look at Tony. He's like, just, oh.
Yep.
I'm showing off.
There's oh my gosh, look, my hand's over here and this mug is just like, I don't know what's going on. It's like, see, here's my other hand and it's just moving by itself. I'm David Copperfield. Join me tonight on ABC.
Tony's high. But I don't like the whole, I mean, I think like you could, I don't, astral projection's a little weird concept for me, but I kind of get it. Like how you could leave your body and see, because there's a lot of people like in a hospital setting where they die, they say they kind of went up to the ceiling and looked down on their body. And that's basically what he was doing. And then he was thirsty.
I think I asked this last week and then we kind of got into something else, but Have you ever had a dream where you really, you felt like, gosh, like, I feel like I'm really like there, like
in the present tense.
And I remember I had one, and I don't normally nap, but I was taking a nap one day, and in the dream I was in, it was back in my parents' like backyard area. And it was summer, because it was summer when I was taking this nap, but like I could smell everything, and it felt, and it looked like it did today, where it's, you know, it's more grown over. It wasn't the childhood version that I had in my head, which is what I would normally dream if I was back there, but it felt like I was there, and it felt like I was looking around, and it was just a really weird, I don't know, it almost like looked spectrum-y around me, you know, kind of the colors, if you will, kind of cloudy. I was not on anything. I had not drank anything. I'd never had weed in my life at that point. And I'd never done anything else. So it was just a very weird, weird kind of middle of the day dream, but it felt more like accurately there than any dream I'd ever had.
I don't know that I've ever dreamed that specific or that well, yeah. You know,
and there was no point to it either. It was just like, I was in this other place, you know, there was no people, there was no purpose to it. I was kind of alarmed when I woke up, because I was like, should I call? Like, is there a reason I felt like I was just there? And I mean, nothing had happened. But it was, I don't know. It was the most weirdly specific kind of dream thing I've ever had, where it just felt that, I don't know, authentic.
And that's kind of like him, like all these years later, he's still thinking about that dream. Like it was different than a regular dream.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much so.
And the mysterious glass of water, which makes me think maybe if he was smoking weed before he went to bed, maybe, just maybe, he had a glass of water with him.
I'm going to think, yeah, that might not be the mysterious, but I like the idea of it floating through the house. I think that would be. Do you ever see that Halloween Maxwell House commercial where it's like, and then the Folgers, it's like the best part of waking up. And then like the Folger, like it just comes into the room and they're like, oh my gosh, it's a floating coffee. It's Folgers in your cup. And it hands it to the people. And then like it sprays it on the other one, because one of them is having the affair and it's the dead wife.
See, I always buy into this. And you always have me till the very last second.
Best part of waking up.
I'm like, that would be a great idea for a commercial. I'm like, that was brilliant to think of that for Halloween.
Should make that with AI. You could probably do that.
That's what you get for messing around on your dead wife or whatever they exactly. do.
Thanks for watching and listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any of the many ghost stories that we put out to you multiple times a day, 365 days a year, right here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And share your real ghost story with us as well. You can call in 24/7 at 855-853-4802 or write in on our website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Subscribe, share your story, and then come back and watch us live Monday nights, 8 p.m. Central, on our YouTube channel for Real Ghost Stories Online Live. And hit subscribe so you don't miss any of those episodes that we put out for you all week long, right here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.